My string broke. My goodness, what's going on today? Palm Sunday. Everybody got their palms? All right. Well, we want to talk about Palm Sunday today. What it means. What I want to talk about and share with you here this morning. I'll just connect here quickly. Can we change it to HDMI 2, please? Por favor. Yeah, nothing else has been working. Why would this work? Well, amen. As long as I have a voice, as long as I can speak and share. I told Tracy, I don't think I'll ever retire unless I lose my voice. If I lose my voice, I'm done. I'm done for. Does that work? Okay, that's working. Okay. All right. Okay. Is that working? All right. Well, it's a day of celebration, right? It is Palm Sunday. It is the day in the video I had a clip from The Chosen. It was about a six-minute clip, and I really liked it because I wanted to give you an idea, maybe a picture of what it was like for Jesus riding on a donkey and coming in and the people having one expectation of what he was coming to do, who he was. And so that's why the title of my message today is The King We Didn't Expect, The King You Didn't Expect. And so I want to talk about that this morning. I think all of us here understand expectations, right? We've either put expectations on other people or we've had other people put expectations on us. And I think we kind of understand that. I think all of us here understand it. You know, we expect the weather to be one way and then it does something else. We expect a season of life to go a certain way, right? What I expected, and it goes another way. It goes sideways on me. It goes a different direction. We expect God to answer a prayer that I've been praying maybe for a long time, and I feel like he hasn't heard it yet. He hasn't answered, but I'm expecting him to. And if we're honest, I think we can all agree, is that not a little frustrating? Right? It can be frustrating. We can see things, oh man, Lord, I just feel like it needs to go this way. I just feel like it should be going a certain way. And so, Father, but I need your help. If you could answer this. And then we hear nothing, and my circumstances haven't changed. I think all of us have experienced that in one way or another, right? Right? We've all experienced that because we all carry expectations. And that's exactly what's happening here on Palm Sunday. There's a certain expectation, or people had expectations, and people had different expectations on Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, this teacher that they've been hearing about for 3 years, going across all the land, preaching and teaching, and not just maybe preaching God, but bringing God in the flesh, right? The Word became flesh and dwelt among them. I want to read for you the story this morning, and I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 21. And it'll be verses 1 to 11. You can just listen or turn in your Bibles if you want. But let me read the story of what we call the triumphal entry. Jesus coming as king into Jerusalem. So let me start at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt beside her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." Now, can you imagine, right, those two disciples? Had they seen enough at this point to just believe Jesus? Yeah, okay, Lord, whatever you say, we know. We've seen, you know, Peter walk on water. We've seen you walk on water. We've seen Jairus' daughter, what you did with her. You raised Lazarus from the dead, right? We're going to believe you. He sends these two disciples. We're going to believe you. Just tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. It was actually Zechariah. Zechariah prophesied this in chapter 9, verse 9. It says, say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. I don't know if the crowd had it quite right. Right? They saw, it's a question that we all have to answer. Who is this? Who is Jesus to you? We all have to be able to answer it. Is he just a really good teacher to you? Was he just a really good person? Was he a prophet? Or did you see him as the Messiah, the Savior, who's come to save me from myself and my sin and my guilt? I think we all have to be able to answer that question. Well, we see here the crowd had expectations, right? Right, they had expectations on Jesus. They spread their cloaks. They waved their palm branches, right? And they shouted, Hosanna, right? Which actually means, God save us, right? That's what Hosanna means. God save us is the literal translation, but it also turned also into a term of praise, right? A term of praise as well. But it actually means, God save us. See, they were expecting a conquering king, right? That's how they come. They wanted freedom from Roman rule, right? They didn't like the Romans ruling over them. They know what the prophet said. They know the old covenant scripts, the Old Testament chapters and verses from the prophets before, from the major and minor prophets. They knew what they would say. We're supposed to rule. And I hope this king is coming to take over and free us from the Romans who are ruling. We want a conquering king. We want immediate change, right? That's what they were looking for. This is the king that they were expecting to come as they're giving their shouts of praise of Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And they're praising him because they thought they had a conquering king coming to save them. Finally, from Roman rule, and we're going to finally conquer as is promised to us. They thought this is it. Everything is about to change. Jesus has made it Jerusalem. Anybody ever been stranded on the side of a highway before? Right? You're stranded on the side. Those things happen to me. We start to call it now, my last name is Salen, so we call it you've been Salened. Right? I've just been Salened again. These things always happen to me. And when you're stranded on the side of the road, you usually hope it's a busy highway where people will come and stop. And I need a lift. I need a tow truck. You know, you're praying, God, could you send a big truck? Maybe even a tow truck with even someone who can help me out. And then this small little smart car pulls up. Well, not what I was expecting. How is he going to help pull my vehicle, right? My big one-ton truck, right? Well, God, could you send something else, something a little bigger? Not what I expected. But then the person inside was a mechanic, and he knows how to fix my vehicle. You see, I had one expectation, but here was another. Right? It happens to us all the time, doesn't it? If you think about your life right now, just think about the history of your life in those moments. I think it's happened to all of us. The help came, just not how I expected it to come. I was thinking, I just need a pull. But God sent a mechanic instead. Well, the crowd had expectations, but Jesus didn't meet them the way that they had thought. Your king comes, but he's coming riding on a donkey. Can you imagine? This is our coming king, and Jesus comes in on a donkey. You see, usually kings rode war horses, big, strong, majestic, and they were behind it on a chariot made of gold and silver, right? That's how a king would come, chariots of gold and silver. Victors came with power and prestige. But our king comes a lot differently. He didn't claim any of that. And he came humbly, riding on a donkey. Can you just picture that with me for a second? I know we read these things every year, but just picture that for a second. Right? I wonder how the disciples felt. Hey, Lord, could we maybe get you a horse? You know, just something a little bit bigger and stronger, a little more majestic that would actually suit you. But Jesus said, no, that's not the kind of king that I am. I'm coming in humility. And I'm going to come riding on this donkey to fulfill what the prophet had said to me. Jesus comes in humility. How many of us want to lift ourselves up? Man, I'm awesome. I'm so great. And don't you tell me otherwise. And people say stuff against us and we get all bothered by it, right? Because obviously we're still working through where our security is actually found. Right? Our security needs to come from the humble king who rode in on a donkey. He's given us everything for life and godliness. Right? See, Jesus, remember he said in John, I don't live for man's praises. Do you think I live for your praises? I don't. I made you. You don't see it. But I don't live for your praises. I live for my Father. And I already know what he says about me. Remember I said it last week, this is my son whom I love. He will not come with beautiful robes, royal robes. He will not come on a war horse riding in a chariot of silver and gold. He's going to come in humility, bringing the kingdom that you do not yet understand or know about. They were looking for power and prestige, but God sent peace and humility in Christ. They wanted a revolution, but Jesus came for redemption. Right? He came to redeem us, the king riding on a donkey. I think sometimes we struggle with God, not because he's absent, right? Well, some of us do. We feel he's absent at times, right? You pray, you're going through very difficult things in your life, and when you pray, you just don't sense his presence, right? You feel like you're in a bit of a dark room, right? You know, a photograph back in our day, now it's the digital world, but the old cameras, right? Those photos had to go into a dark room for the color in the picture to come out of it, right? And unless it went into a dark room, the life in the picture would not come through. And it goes into that dark room, and that's scary enough, but then they dip it in acid. They give it a little acid bath. And it has to get dipped in acid. And then it has to stay there, and they hang it up. And while that acid runs off it, it has to dry until that picture comes through. And I know some of us have Well, you may be going through a very difficult thing even at the moment, and it can feel like God is absent, and you can feel like you're in that dark room. Right? And just when the door, you feel like the door is opening, and you see a little light, and then Satan comes in, and he starts speaking all kinds of lies. Right? You're not worthy. You're unacceptable. You can't be a Christian. You went too far. Your sin is too great. And he'll let the enemy speak all kinds of lies to you. And then we get fearful. And once we start to fear, right, because fear gets all of your attention, doesn't it? Right, that's why in Proverbs it says, the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. Because if you fear him, you have nothing to fear. Because when you fear something, it gets all of you, and God wants all of your attention. Right? Whatever gets your attention will get you, and he wants to have all of your attention. It takes faith in those moments, right? Because we like to feel God, don't we? Right? But faith is believing God is there, even if you don't feel him. Because we can't ride on emotions. Hey, we love emotions, right? We love it when things are going well. But at some point, we have to come to the point where we just say, God, I'm not feeling great about this, but I choose to trust in you. I choose to follow my humble King. I choose to believe that you're with me in the midst of my pain, that you're not off in some corner. I was dealing with this lady one time. I got a phone call from somebody in Ontario, and they asked, I don't know how they got my name to this day, but they called me and said, hey, is this Pastor Chad? I said, yes, it is. He goes, my daughter's in Provost Hospital, and I was wondering if you could go and meet with her to encourage her. And I said, absolutely. So she gave me her name. And this was a very active person, like super active, super in shape. Right, love working out, love running. And now something had happened to her that will stop that now for the rest of her life. And I'm sitting there talking with her. And she said to me, Chad, where is God? Like, where is he? Like, I just feel like he's separated from this. Like, he's out there, not in the here and the miss with me. And he's absent. And I apologize for bringing this story up again, but I said, well, sister, John tells us that Jesus is the vine and we're branches attached to the vine. So whatever the branch experiences, the vine has to experience it too, because they're attached together. I said, he is not removed from your suffering. He's in the very midst of it with you. If you just look, blessed are those who believe and yet do not see. We can't see it, right? That's a thing, and I want to see with my physical eyes, but it takes faith. It takes faith. And the ones who are crying out, Hosanna, 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 well, a lot of them later on didn't have the faith to see what kind of king he was coming to be. So at one moment they're singing, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest of heavens! And then a few days later they're shouting, Crucify him! Crucify him! You know, I was thinking about this week. This is something, I don't know, that the Lord brought to my attention as I was pondering on this story, because we've done it so many times, right? Palm Sunday, we read about it, but I try to like to get us to look at things in a different way, but I think we have to stop before we judge the crowd too quickly, because I think we all have been that crowd at one time or another in our lives, right? Right, we're so quick to say, oh, I can't believe it. How could they do it? But I know we don't want to admit it, right? Because we know that's bad, right? They're praising him, and then they're saying, shouting, crucify him. But I think we're probably that crowd more often than we want to actually admit, right? Probably more than we want to even admit. We've all had these moments where I should have shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest of heavens. When my prayers went unanswered, when my relationship fell apart, when my life went sideways. But we've also had moments where I just didn't understand what he was doing. I couldn't see. Right? I just couldn't see. And the crowd, they couldn't see what he was doing. They didn't understand. Right? They just couldn't see what he was doing. And that's where faith comes in. Right? That's where faith, we have to believe that God sees things that we do not yet see. Right? I can't see it because it's not time to reveal it. Right? How often did Jesus say to his disciples, the time has not yet come. The time has not yet come. Soon, soon. Well, how soon is soon, Lord? Soon. It's a good word. Soon to me. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. He's not bound by time. But he has the bird's eye view on your life. See, he has a different perspective on your life. I can't see it. See, I can't see your beginning and your end and how everything in between those fit. But we have to trust and believe that he does. And sometimes we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But the goal is not to fear evil in that time. The goal is to snug up even closer to your God. Hug yourself a little deeper. Oh, Jesus, I believe. I believe. It's what I love about that story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Right? Shadrach, not Shadrach. Right? And I love that story because I'm sure they didn't feel good about melting at a certain temperature where their skin's just going to fall off. Right? But they said, but Lord, even if you don't rescue us, we still choose to believe. And I love that. Hebrews 11, it's the hall of faith. You know, we have the hall of fame, but it's the hall of faith. It's talking about all these faith-filled people, right, who trusted God. But then it breaks pattern, and it says, and then there were the others. And then there were the others. That I picked up on it. And it said, they're the ones who believed me that I would answer in their lifetime. And yet it did not come. The world is not worthy of them. For they chose to believe. And yet it didn't come in their lifetime. Whew, the world is not worthy of them. Are you one of those others, perhaps? I don't know. I don't wish it upon anybody. Do I want that medallion? The world's not worthy of me. I made it. That's the kind of faith that's required here. You have to trust. You know, we pray these certain prayers, and we say, well, Pastor Chad, would you pray that my son and my daughter or my daughter would stop doing drugs and stop drinking alcohol? Would you just pray that that would end? And you know, you learn in some of these other countries, that's why people go to a witch doctor, because they want to impose choice on another, right? That's what we do. But our God has choice. I don't know why the prodigal son had to go through all of what he did, but he had to. He had to in order to see what the father wanted him to see, desired him to see. And he saw it, didn't he, at the end? Right? It's changed my prayers over the years. And it's hard sometimes because I want to submit my will for my kids, right? But I have to believe and I have to trust, and so do you, that God sees something different. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have to trust that he can see things differently, that he sees your beginning, your end. He sees your kids' beginning and their end, and he knows how it all fits. And we're all going to have to walk through things that's maybe not so fun. But I can promise you this, the humble king is right in the midst of it with you. And if you wait long enough, because I know that dark room is hard. I get it. I've been there. It's difficult. But just hang on. Or maybe better said, let him hang on to you. Trust that he has you. Right? That he's looking after it. You know, they may have praised him on a Sunday, but they questioned him by Friday. Right? We have our Good Friday service coming up. You know, God, why didn't you heal me? Or why didn't you heal this person? Why didn't you fix this? I know you could have, Lord. We read about it. We've seen it. Why didn't you answer that prayer? And slowly, that praise turns into distance if we don't have maturity in the right perspective, right? If we don't see God for who he really is, it creates this distance, right? And then we feel weird, don't we? We feel a little bit lost, right? Not because he's moved. It says in Scripture that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a consistent God. He does not change, right? And we pray and ask God to change our circumstances, but God may have brought them to change you and how you see things, right? I need that contrast to learn. I don't know hot without cold. I don't know a warm day without a cold day. I don't know a good day without a bad day. I don't know a savior without a devil. If you have no problems, what do you need a savior for? Right? We need that contrast. We need to understand. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, I had a little chuckle with Tracy. We were driving by the fire station on our way back to our house, and I said, "Hey, remember when they used to visit us in the summer? Because we had an alarm in our house that wasn't ours, and the kids kept cooking, and the alarm would go off, and so the fire truck kept visiting our house, and it happened about 3 or 4 times. They were really, really sick of us." And I'm like, I don't know how to stop it. I don't have the code. And the fire chief was so angry with me. And I shouldn't have told him that I enjoyed our little visits every time they come. He didn't appreciate that. But I was thinking about this. And I was thinking about, imagine, you know, someone's trapped in a burning house. And the house is burning. And they're yelling out, "Send some water, please. Bring us some relief. Send the water. Right, put out the fire." But the greater danger is actually that they're trapped inside the house. Right? They're trapped inside. They needed the firemen to run into the house to save them, not just send relief. Right? And to me, that's Jesus. Gives me this picture of Jesus in this moment. That they wanted relief, but Jesus came to rescue. We want relief from Roman rule, but no, I'm doing something deeper. I'm doing something far greater. Can you trust me? I'm here to rescue you from yourself, from your sin. I don't know. Maybe we've misunderstood Palm Sunday. Maybe Palm Sunday's about total surrender. Maybe that's what about. Just totally surrendering ourselves and to start seeing life. Maybe we need to ask God, would you give me eyes to see how you see? My prayers have become a lot shorter over the years. I remember at one point I was praying and I said, "God, you know what? I think I know what I need to pray for, but I know that you know what I need. So thy will be done in my life." And wouldn't I be right in saying that? I just like to talk, so I keep talking to God. Right? But it could be that simple, right? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Maybe the point of Palm Sunday is maybe it's about not just about celebration, not just about waving palm branches. Maybe it's about surrender. Again, Hosanna really means, God, save me. And we need saving, right? Sometimes it's daily. Sometimes I'm going through a season where I keep running into things, right? I just keep running into things time and time again. Jesus, would you come? I need you again. Save me from myself. The crowd wanted Jesus to follow their plan, but real faith is when we say, Jesus, I trust yours for my life. Whatever direction it heads, whatever way it goes, I trust your plan for my life. And so it ended in this verse that I read. Who is this? Right? Who is this? And somebody from the crowd answered, well, it's Jesus, a prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. But would you not agree with me? He is much more than just a prophet. Right? It was God. Who is this? It's Jesus, the Son of God, who's come to take away the sins of the world. That's who it is. Someone that we just call on when needed. Maybe someone we just admire for all that he's done. Or do you see him as your humble king? He's my humble king who's come to save me. Is it possible to praise Jesus and still not be surrendered to him? Is it possible? I was thinking about that. Just a question I asked myself this week. This king, he rode into Jerusalem knowing he would be rejected, knowing he would be beaten, knowing he would be crucified. Can you imagine the weight of that? Oh, man. So I wanted to show that clip. I thought they did such a good job of it. But the weight of that, that he would be rejected, he would be beaten, he would be crucified, but Jesus still showed up anyways. Right? Knowing all that, he still showed up anyways. He didn't meet their expectations because he was doing something far greater that they could not see. They shouted Hosanna at first, but days later they shouted, crucify him. They just couldn't see because he wasn't the king that they expected. And I think if we're honest, we can do the exact same thing. We follow Jesus as long as he fits my expectations, right? As long as you do what I want to do, right? It used to be the standing joke in my family. I always used to say, well, I finally figured out the problem with my wife and kids. And one person said, what? Well, I said, they're too selfish to think of me all the time. They just think of me, there'd be no problems in this home, right? And it's kind of like that, right? Right? God, as long as you do it my way, as long as you fit my expectations, I have no problem following you. But the moment something difficult comes, and I think we distance ourselves instead of getting closer, right? Getting a little bit closer. He's not the king we expected, but I promise you, he's exactly the king that we need. He's exactly the king that you need in the midst of that very moment. I don't know. Let me end with this thought. Maybe our prayers need to change. Maybe we need to change how we pray. Maybe it's not, Jesus, would you fix that? Or fix this or fix that. But Jesus, I surrender to you. Would you help me to surrender in every area of my life? Because by the end of it, Lord, I hope that in every place in my life, I'm fully surrendered to you. That I have the maturity and the faith to see that you see things that I don't. Maybe that needs to be our prayer, hey? Jesus, I've had expectations. I've wanted you to move my way. But today, I surrender. You are not just my Savior. You're the King of my life. You are my very life. Hosanna, save me, but save me your way. Not mine. Amen. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Father God, man, this was a challenging. You have challenged me, Lord, even in some of the ways I think about the Christian life with you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, because God, we do need help. That's why I like that guy. I said, Lord, we do believe, but would you help us in our unbelief? Would you please help us in our unbelief? Lord, I know that you see things the way we don't. Lord, I'm so glad you got on that donkey. And I'm so glad you rode into Jerusalem as this humble king. It's the kind of king that I love. Lord, and I can't imagine, I can't even fathom in my heart, Lord, or in my mind, what it would have been like to bear the weight of what you knew it was coming as you rode in to the city. But you still showed up. Lord, would you help us with the same thing? When life gets difficult, when things get so hard and heavy, Lord, would you help us to show up? Would you help us to see you? Would you remind us that you're right in the midst of it with us, that you're not apart from our hurt and our suffering, but you're in the very midst of it with us? Thank you, God, that you were the king they didn't expect. Thank you for coming. Thank you for showing up. God, would you minister to our hearts? And we look forward to, Lord, Good Friday, which is actually a difficult Friday. But we look forward to celebrating, I guess, Lord, what you did on the cross. To remember, as you said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember. That's the point. Remember what I've done. And you deserve to be remembered every day. So, Lord, my prayer for all of us this week, would you remind us of your presence in our life? All that you went through so we could have you. We're never alone. We are not alone. People will want to convince us of, the enemy will want to convince us of it, but we are a people who are never alone because the living God lives in us. Remind us of that, Lord. And we pray this and ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. And God's children said, amen. Amen. Amen.